Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Hello, we are back. You may notice something different. I am sat in this chair. For those of you that watch the visuals, they finally let me host, so I'm very, very happy to be here. We've had not that many games this weekend, but AFCON has started, so we've still got a lot to cover. As always, you can find us at GoldDiggersUK on Twitter, or X, if that's what you want to call it, at GoldDiggersUK on Instagram, at GoldDiggersUK on TikTok. And guys, we're also on LinkedIn as well now. So those of you who are not jobless corporate and you've got LinkedIn, go and find us.
What if you are jobless and you have
LinkedIn? If you're looking for a job and you're open to work, do follow us as well, please. We are on LinkedIn. So I will introduce everyone who's sat opposite from me now. We're going to have a crazy episode because we have some big personalities. But over to you first. I'm looking to my left.
I'm not the big personality. My name is Anita Byme, at Anita Byme on all social media platforms. And I'm sitting next to a big personality.
Mm. Wow. Shy at Shy Carter on Twitter.
Happy New Year, everybody. T E Ma at Teams_GH. I almost forgot my name.
I'm too busy saying Happy New Year.
The year's not happy anymore, man. Come on.
Some of us it is.
I'm Moyo at Moyo's Laboratory on everything.
And if you don't know who this is, it's me, Lauren at Lauren Coys. So, to get started, hot off the press, we've just finished United Spurs at Old Trafford, which was a 2-2 draw. Moyo, I'll come to you first to get your thoughts on the game.
Normally I try and stay composed, yeah, like after games, but I just started tweeting Ten Hag out, Anthony out, McTominay out, Bruno, it's just the Bruno you lot love. Like, I was getting annoyed, but now I was like, let me remember that these lot don't pay me. Do you get what I mean? Like, these people are not paying me.
What
I will say is, first half, I thought it was decent. We had good spells, we had good moments. I think Højlund looked the best he's looked in the league in terms of, like, normally I think he doesn't get opportunities, but this time I feel like he was taking it to the game as opposed to waiting for others to create chances for him. I feel like he was getting involved in passing. He made some good crosses as well. Rashford scored, happy about that.
First goal at Old Trafford
in seven months.
Shocking. Can I ask a question about Rashford?
You are going to. So.
Boy. Is it me or was his head ashy? Because it looked like he hadn't moisturized.
I thought it was going to be about his performance.
Same.
Are you saying his hair's dry?
I thought he was going to say his head is flat.
Respectfully, we all know that. But it looks like before the game, it looked like his head was like...
I think it's just cold. Icicles, you know.
Maybe it's the colour as well. It just looks in the light.
No toner.
Floodlights.
Yeah.
I'm happy that he's... Am I happy that he scored? Probably not. But it's interesting that he did score. I think obviously he's come into a lot of criticism
He's back with his girlfriend, probably.
I don't know if that's true.
Leave him and his girlfriend alone.
She's a writer for the Daily Mail, because where did she get that information from?
Bro!
Because he started scoring.
Scoring?
Scored.
He scored.
That's not overdoing
it. He scored.
He scored assist as well.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yeah, see?
Okay.
Come on. yeah, sorry. I actually interrupted you.
That's fine. His Ashy head clearly needed a moment. I was going to say, yeah, that I thought Dallow was good. Dallow's one of the few that can say he was probably good from start to finish. And he's probably the only one that can say that.
You thought everyone else was...
They can't say... Some of them were awful. Eriksen, boy, if I start... if I actually start Eriksen, he is done. And I feel like... I've done this rant before. Do you get what I mean? Like, I shouldn't still be talking about Eriksen in 2024. Like, it's over.
He has a heart problem.
Bro, it's nothing to do with that. Do you get what I mean? Like, he played what? 50-something minutes.
Say, yeah, his legs are gone.
He plays 50-something minutes. But to be fair, yeah, this is all like... this has all come because of the fact that Mount hasn't been able to stay fit this season. Do you get what I mean? And I'm not saying I'm not saying necessarily Mount would have come on and done a madness or played and done a madness. But him not being available for most of the season hasn't meant that United do the thing they always do, which is that, like, sorry, United fans do the thing they always do, which is they start lying to themselves. Like, anytime a player's injured, the PR for them is through the roof. I'm telling you. The times that McTominay's injured, yeah, watch United fans on Twitter, oh, we need McTominay. This is the kind of game we need McTominay for. Bro, as soon as McTominay comes back, you hate him again. Eriksen was injured for a while. We kept seeing McTominay. Everyone was like, oh, when Eriksen gets back, we'll get our midfield back from last season. Bro, that midfield was dead and it's dead now. Do you get what I mean? So Eriksen needs to go. Antony came on for like, what, 2 minutes plus added time. His first touch, he lost the ball. I said, you know, you're running out of excuses for the guy. And I feel like Ten Hag as well, he knows this is not the guy. This is not the guy. He said it himself, like in not so many words, but he was like, the level he's playing at is not the level you need for the Premier League. He said that. So this is not new information. We all know he's not good enough. But I think our problem is when you look at recruitment overall, because when I looked to that bench, there was no one that I was like, oh, bring him on. He's going to change the game. Do you get what I mean? Like Ahmad, I could have said would have done that, but he wasn't on the bench. Yeah. Like we didn't have anyone on the bench that could have changed the game. So...
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
I've not been following Mason. I've muted him on my timeline, so I don't see nothing. Sadness to do with or what? Yeah. Betrayal.
Oh, but okay, that's right.
I've muted him on my timeline.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with him?
Bro. So.
He has depression, though.
No, where did you get this?
Fuck?
Where did you get this?
Is it, what? What's your injury? What?
Is he got, he got, or? Nah, Shai, what,
or is
how did
friend?
You diagnose
you know,
him?
Okay, you know,
Shai's annoying me because she said it, she said it like he told her. She said it like he messaged her before she came on the podcast.
It's the diagnosis, like, how do you know this?
Someone called Sammy, we need a diagnosis. Depression, sorry.
Fam, he came, he was playing, yeah, the beginning of the season. He got injured, I think it was the Spurs game.
The reverse fixture,
I think he got injured in that. He was injured for a while. And then he came back. We played Crystal Palace in the Carabao Cup. He came back in that game. I thought it was really good. He played the next game. He was decent against Fulham. And then I think he got injured the game after that again with a different injury. So it was like, he hasn't really been able to build.
No goals or assists in 2023.
In 2023, he did. He got an assist against Crystal Palace. What are you talking about, bro?
Is that in the league?
Oh, just one.
See, so say it's in the league. Say it's in the league. Do you see what I mean? You see, you're making up stats, man. And you're making up stats against someone that don't even like these players. Do you get what I mean? Do you get what I mean? I'm not going to be sitting here defending them. These men are not good. Do you get what I mean? So, like, Mount hasn't been able to get continuity. And his other issue has been that, like, for example, yeah, he hasn't played with Mainoo. He hasn't played with, like, some of the other players that I would want to see him play with, he hasn't.
And when he plays with them, what do you think is going to happen?
Boy, I saw in the Carabao Cup game, he was playing with Hannibal and it was someone else. And he looked good. Like, he looked like he
who
could
was
take...
opposition?
Bruno wasn't playing. That was another key.
Who was the opposition?
Palace. Okay. And then we lost to them in the league the next, like, 3 days later. Do you know what I mean? And that was the day that Bruno came back. And that was the day my agenda was solidified because I was like, boy, we played Palace midweek. I think we won, like, 3-0. We dominated the game. Bruno came back. we lost 1-0. And I was like, something's not adding up here.
Something fishy.
And that something down. Fishy is Bruno Fernandes.
Not the guy who's compared to KDB. Come on.
Not by me.
I mean, we haven't seen that Bruno in a very long... Not the one that's as good as KDB, because we've never seen that.
I was about to say, we've never seen
that. Seen that Bruno, but we haven't seen the Bruno that first came to the league in a very long time. Before we came on air, like, Shai, you said you thought United's performance was not decent.
Mm-hmm.
Please expand.
I just feel like the alleged style of football benefits them when playing against Tottenham. It's a high line, you know, classic United, from manager to manager, in behind. They looked semi-threatening. And really and truly, given the game state, McTominay should have sealed that and United should have won 3-2.
And the football gods didn't allow it to happen because it wasn't deserved.
Whether it was deserved or not,
and it definitely wasn't deserved
as,
from him.
As good as
it definitely wasn't going to be him.
Whether it was deserved or not, as good as Tottenham were, especially without their starting midfielders,
mm-hmm.
United still could have snatched the game.
Agreed.
And I don't know. I just think it wasn't that bad. It wasn't as bad as you guys. Like, you guys made it as a disaster. I think that's the best you've looked against the top 16 this season.
They beat us.
No, we looked better against Chelsea, but I wouldn't say Chelsea are top six. Do you know what I mean?
I said top six.
Yeah. Said top and six.
I would actually agree with Shai, yeah. But what's concerning to me is I looked at that starting 11, and other than Luke Shaw, not that many people coming. It's not like, do you know what I mean? Tottenham were looking at their side and we're thinking, boy, Saar would have played, Bissouma would have played.
Son, Kulusevski,
and Maddison.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Do you know what I mean?
I do think, though, United have slandered, you know, their old boy signings. But yeah. Moran's by far been their best player this season.
No, same. And what's it called? Johnny Evans. He's in recent times. No, Johnny Evans was shocking today because the arthritis in his hip did not allow
what
him.
Is it? No. What are these diagnoses?
Diagnosis for everybody.
I'm telling you, when he went to go and stop, when he went to go and stop him, I could feel the bones.
You could feel
rubbing.
You
personally could feel the bone.
You could feel the bone.
When the report comes out tomorrow that the cartilage is done, you lot will listen. I'm telling you now.
The defending for that second goal was tragic.
I'm telling you, the arthritis is not allowing him to accelerate.
Do you know what's killing me? It's the hand movement.
It's not allowing him to go.
It's not allowing him
to
go. Johnny Evans has tried his best this season. For the fact that we know who this guy is. Do you get what I mean? He's played more this season, yeah, than he did last season at Leicester, which is insane, by the way, because he's supposed to come in as our sixth choice centre-back. That actually tells you everything.
But you got Lanny Lannister back.
I'm not going to lie. I fear that I love Lissandro Martinez.
You fear?
I
that
fear.
You love him?
But
what is it about him that you love?
I just... Do you know what it is? Like, I feel like when he plays, I just feel like he gets it. There were certain times today he picked up the ball. His first thought is, I'm getting it to the person in between the lines. And he was the only one that did it. Even when Varane was doing a good job, I thought Varane did a good job defensively, yeah? There's certain balls and the speed in which Lissandro plays the ball with that no one else in the team does. Obviously, he's got his deficiencies. Height being the main one.
Are you taller than him?
Oh, for sure. They're trying to lie that he's 5'9", but come
he's
on, bro.
He's not 5'9".
I'm taller than him.
He looks the same height as Malacia, and Malacia, I'm pretty sure, is just 5'7". So,
he's
boy.
Yeah.
No, not you.
Not you, Lowit.
I said probably you.
Oh, sorry. I'm actually saying
that is actually
oh
so
Oh, my God. Hey, I didn't say a damn thing. I got what you said.
I don't know what's happened to you today, but...
That was wicked,
Shai.
She said it too.
That was very weak.
Sometimes just be the bad guy by yourself.
I think ex-Chelsea fans, so Anita.
Ex-Chelsea fans?
Oh, sorry. Chelsea fans, but thoughts on ex-Chelsea player.
Oh.
Timo Werner, what did you think?
Timo, over to you.
He got an assist.
You like him, innit? You were the one of the ones that was calling for him to come back, no?
Yeah.
Or was
that
fake?
You all sad, to be fair.
You're like, a loser, man. Okay. For you to be calling for that guy back.
I weren't calling for him to come back, but he does have a soft spot in my heart. I won't. Because do you know one of those players where you really wanted them to excel and there was so much potential, and every time he grasped at the potential, something pulled him back, but you thought you were almost there.
What's the something there? Is that
that's not him? Yeah, it's him. Yeah, it's
do you his, know what I mean? It wasn't an external factor, bro.
But you know what? It could be external, because when he was his first stint at Leipzig, he was a scoring machine. Then he comes to the Premier League, all of a sudden, that's all left his system.
I don't believe that league, man.
And also, like, when he does, remember when they were singing his name and he was dancing like this? You know, I miss him, man.
Didn't you have that open training session and someone shouted something at him and he looked like he wanted to cry?
Yeah, but then...
You're
in a quiet training session, someone's telling you to, like, fuck off, like, come on, you'll cry.
Oh, yeah, and the woman was like, come back here.
we all stood up for team. Why are you laughing so hard?
I didn't even remember that bit. Why the woman was trying to do Avengers Assemble in the crowd? I don't know.
We all assembled, all of us, even online. Like, that's how much we love Werner, man. Werner's got a soft spot and a lot of Chelsea fans are.
I just feel like he's one of those players where the Premier League isn't for him, and that's okay.
100.
I think he'll do well at Tottenham.
I think he'll do well at Tottenham. I saw
classic Werner. Like, the assist was good. Good decision making. I feel like he's somebody that's in the right position, but you're going to shoot wide.
He's the German.
You're just going to shoot wide.
But Richarlison
bags, though.
Six in six, he's bagging now,
right? But they have these spells where they're extremely hot and then they go extremely cold. Just because he scored a couple of goals now, what does that
mean? Six since returning from the surgery.
What's his record since he signed?
His record has been poor, but
exactly
last season,
so hot
under,
and cold.
Last season under Conte, he wasn't first choice. He was coming in and out of the team, playing from the left.
I'm just here to dispel narratives.
I think now Richarlison's playing through the middle.
Can I ask, actually getting consistent game time. What is the chaos that people like? Because some people seem to like chaos. Like, I feel like Werner's another chaos player, yeah? But I feel like people just decide which chaos they like and which chaos they don't. Do you know what I mean?
I like the Werner chaos because he actually really tries his absolute best.
There's a lot of tryers on this first team.
I know that this isn't about Chelsea, but would you prefer... I got asked this question. Would you prefer... Werner.
I know what you're going to say, Werner.
No.
Jackson, isn't it? Werner.
Is it?
Werner.
So
I prefer Werner. It's Werner.
It's shameless because there's absolutely no legitimate reason why it's just Werner.
How many goals did Werner score in the league?
I think he got a good amount. Double digits.
Yeah. Double digits.
20 in one season.
Not in one season. We're talking about the career.
He
got a substantial amount. Double digits in, I think, both of the campaigns that he was here. So he wasn't as bad. But
and Jackson is on what?
I don't.
Jackson's on like 10 now.
No, not 10.
He's
on 7 or 8.
And you know what? Even,
and four of them are against 9 men.
Even I've got Werner's stats here right now. His first season, he scored 6 goals in the league, and his next season he scored 4. So you lot are disgraced.
And the fact that you,
but what did I just say? I said there's absolutely no legitimate reason.
But you said you would. So let's actually unpack why you got an issue. Can you repeat that?
He scored six goals, bro.
He got ten goals altogether in the Premier League.
Wait, are we sure? Where did you see that?
I've got his stats up right now.
Are you on the Premier League? I've got his stats up right now.
You know what? At least
and you lot tried to lie and said it was at least double digits both seasons. The cap.
No, he was there three seasons.
Bro, how much did I say he scored the first season? Six. Jackson is on 7 now in the league.
Like, yeah, but Jackson, you have to take the tax. Four of them were against us. You are a disgrace.
There's no tax, bro. She's a disgrace.
He scored 3 goals.
There was 4 goals in that game. Well, did he not score 4 of them?
Cole Palmer, allegedly.
Allegedly. As in, that's what you call them. What you call him, sorry. Not them.
Anita still
doesn't believe the stats. The stats are stuck.
It's because he contributes to the team.
Okay.
He looks like he's better than his finishing is.
So you're just looking busy, but you're new.
Is so bad.
Okay, maybe I wouldn't take any either of them.
See?
I'm changing my answer.
Do you not
feel like Werner and Modric are the same player?
No. Okay, and let's unpack that very quickly. Werner and Modric are not the same players. And I feel like you need to have some respect because you wanted him in your team. You were talking about you would replace Martinelli with Modric.
You guys love to paraphrase me with things that I
did. You said it verbatim! I will reel the tape! You said it verbatim!
Let's correct. I said Arteta. I didn't speak for myself.
Anissa, go back into archives.
I'm on my life, on my life, on my life. Because you sat there and you
displaced because you and then because you kiki-kied at the end.
Bro,
said it.
She sat there and whispered it. Firstly, she was like, "Yeah, I'll take that."
Yeah,
and I said,
remember,
"What?"
Yeah.
And then you're like, "Yeah, what you can come and replace? Can replace the guy on the right wing?" That's what you said. The guy on the right wing, Martinelli.
We're not speaking about Fingy right now. So
well, no, we'll get to it. Don't you worry. In fact, you guys continue. I'll go and find the clip.
I'm finding it for you.
But I will just say that we need to, at some point in life, unpack why you lot would go for Werner. Because Faye said the same thing over Jackson. And boy, that little venue, you lot know the reason in it. it's looking extra sus.
I refute the charges.
It's looking extra sus. That's what I'm saying.
I plead the fifth.
Speak to my legal representative.
Bro, I plead the fifth on that one, boy. Yeah. Bring Werner back. Mm.
But wrapping up Spurs United, considering that we are competing for the same European spots. Huh? So, what do you mean,
United ain't competing for nothing. You lot are competing for something. We're not doing anything.
You don't even
time is just passing.
You don't even know Europa, nothing.
Boy.
I feel like if Chelsea is competing for
you ain't though. This is the problem that you think you are competing for something as well. You like ain't competing for anything either.
I'm sorry, it's in my DNA. We are competing for a European spot. We are.
Would you take Conference League?
No.
No.
So then you're not competing.
That doesn't count.
That's for you, man.
That's for you lot.
It's for you, man. We're above you. You're talking about. And I'm saying we ain't there.
But the thing is, yeah, you're above us by 1 point, but you're telling us you're not competing for Europe. We are competing.
If you're not competing for Europe, where do you think
where are you going?
What are you competing for?
Maybe like 8th, 9th? Does that get
8th is conference.
8th is conference.
Oh, okay, then we're competing for conference with you lot.
No, we're competing for Europa and potentially...
And potentially
potentially,
what?
Potentially the Champions League.
Yeah, we'll pause.
Just pause. Thank you very much. So, as I said, I know exactly what I said and you're not going to try and get me. I said my manager, speaking about Arteta, not I.
Play it.
What he would... Oh, wait, let me disconnect from my AirPods.
We have the tapes rolling live and direct.
Hey, am I disabled?
Oh.
Okay, Brie, you have to cut that out.
Yeah.
Sorry. I couldn't get the thing.
Let me know when you're ready to play with Clap.
She said, am I disabled?
Sorry, I couldn't get the play button. Everyone stares in confusion. Thank you.
Your manager.
No.
Who is dropping out?
Keep playing.
Oh, I said Martinelli is dropping out. But that's not the point. You guys tried to make it out like I wasn't talking about the fact that Arteta wanted to sign him. And it was just something
but
random.
You weren't.
From me.
No, but you weren't.
Said, we started the sentence with my manager.
Wait, hold on. No. What you're not going to do is twist this. No, what you're not going to do is. In this court of gold diggers, we're not going to twist that. We're not twisting that.
You because the conversation
was about Modric and his ability. The conversation was about Modric and his ability.
My manager has a plan for him.
And then someone said, loan him out.
Yeah, and I said,
loan him to Arsenal.
Absolutely.
And then you said, my manager has magic hands.
And a plan.
And a plan, right? Yes. Then you said, we said, who's dropping out? Verbatim, you said,
Martinelli.
You could have picked anybody else in that team. You picked Martinelli.
He
can play on the left, he can play on the right, he can play centrally. You could have picked anybody in that team. You chose Martinelli.
Rubbish.
You chose it. And you was not speaking on behalf of Arteta. You were speaking on what you want to see Arteta do.
No. I started with
did he text you?
Manager.
Did he text you his plan?
He getting text though. Mason Mount text though before
he... No, by the pressure!
Boy, she be getting text, man.
Apparently he has depression. I'm not joking.
Okay, let's not run that back again. All right,
If he does have depression, that's really sad. But
I'm not joking.
No, you're being so serious, and that's why I'm laughing. Because where did you get this from?
All we're saying, if Mason Mount has depression, it is sad, and we do feel for him. But we want to know where you got that diagnosis from.
Please reveal.
Please.
I can't remember the story.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Let's move
move on. Let's move on to a team where we know exactly what they're playing for. Yesterday we had Newcastle versus City, a high quality game. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you view things, we did see the return of Kevin De Bruyne.
I'm so tired. I have to say now, yeah. Overall, he's still not a better midfielder than Cesc. But in the Premier League, he's the greatest midfielder in the Prem.
No,
that's it.
No.
I don't want to hear from you. The argument... it's finished.
Did I do something to offend you?
Absolutely. Like, the it's done. It's not. It's not done.
I have to think.
But it's not finished.
It's done. There's it's nothing. Not there's no the, metric no, apart from be, Premier League right titles won, and that's in favour of Scholes, so not wait, Lampard.
Who would you have said it was before, though? So before, if there's no De Bruyne, would you have said, like, Gerrard?
No.
Only Ella. Sorry, Ella.
My top three when we done it was Scholes, Cesc, and I think Vieira. And Lampard was fourth.
Oh, then if those are the ones before, then I'd say KDB, fair.
Because for me, apart from United fans arguing that Scholes has 13 PL titles, there's no metric that you can bring to KDB that he doesn't tick the box.
Yeah, other than that's aesthetic sometimes, like how he plays. It depends how you like a football player. Because that
like
crossing,
my
that
to
crossing,
win the games and win the
yeah, no, words, performing word, the, word. Yeah,
in, what, I, but what I don't like about this argument is people like Shai who are literally like, there is no argument. Like, it is verbatim. Like,
so who
argument done.
I'm going to say Frank
there's
Lampard.
No debate. But the thing is, like...
It's not Frank, bro.
The thing is...
Anyone other than Frank? Or just Frank? You're going to argue on the behalf of...
Anyway, as I was saying, before I was rudely interrupted by Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
You have to get your lick back, yeah?
Yeah, yes. I have to, man. I'm not even... I don't even think I'm finished. I think there's one more in me.
It better be for Anita, boy.
No, it's for you two. One of you two. I just think that it is debatable. Like, people at, like...
With who, though?
Can I get my point out, or are you just going to interrupt me?
I just need the name.
You need a lot of things, but right now, I want to get my
No.
Sentence
okay,
out.
Okay, Tima, finish your point. Give us the names.
Yeah, no, I think it's not, like, as crystal, as clear-cut. And having seen them all... Being old enough to have seen them all in their prime, I think you're right there.
Give us the names.
Anyway, as like being old enough to see them all in their prime, I think at any point I've heard that argument for all four or five of them. Mm-hmm. For me, it's still debatable between the four of them, between the Paul Scholes, between Frank Lampard, even Gerrard is in that conversation.
Even Gerrard is brazy.
Even Cesc Fabregas is part of that conversation. Like, it's not as clear cut as you Gen Zs or whatever Generation
Whoa.
X are coming out to say.
All right, auntie.
You think you're mad hipster, man. Get out of here.
What the hell?
I just think that it is a debatable. I think Kevin De Bruyne is fantastic, but also his injury record is questionable. Like, I can see in terms of ability, yeah, but also he misses a lot of games.
Is that what you're bringing to the table? Injuries.
But it's fair, because if you only put it into the Premier League, if you make it wider, you look at the Champions League finals that he's been in, he's gone off injured in both of those finals, where you need your biggest player to perform at the best of his ability, but he goes off.
If you're calling it Premier League mid, as a Premier League midfielder, are we just looking at Premier League? Because if we're just looking at Premier League here, then I'd probably say he is.
That's what
yeah.
I said.
Yeah.
He's still missed a lot of Premier League
Yeah, but
games.
I think he's still got enough. He's missed a lot of Premier League games here, but he's got enough of a CV and portfolio to be like, cool, this is my Premier League career.
Yeah, but any one of them could have missed 5 months of the season and come back and still look amazing. Like, City basically won the league title without him.
They weren't going to do that this season.
Okay.
No, I think Kevin coming on yesterday literally showed him in a nutshell. As in, there was no way City were winning that game unless he came onto the pitch.
But can you not say the same thing? And I can't remember a game, but it was a long time ago. Frank Lampard comes on and Frank Lampard seals the winner. For Chelsea after a long time injury.
No, but Bear players have been like that.
I'm just saying that Bear players have been in that situation.
Yeah, I agree.
So why is that the caveat for him now being the best player, hands down? I'm not saying I agree with Tima, because I think he probably is. But why is that the caveat?
I think it's debatable, and I just don't like this notion that it's clear cut. No one can have a conversation. No one else is part of the conversation. He has an awful injury record. That is just truthful. And as much as he is amazing, if you're going to look about if you're going to look at like being available, because we talk about this in terms of other players, in terms of whether they're world class or not. But all of a sudden, when we're talking about the greatest, we can't talk about the injury records.
And you know what? We say this because, okay, Arsenal fans don't come for me. Do not come for me, Shy. But we can use this for Aguero as well. Aguero and Suarez. Suarez left the league too early. Aguero had too many injuries. That's why they can't be the greatest strikers or the greatest goal scorers in the Premier League, because of their injury record, because Suarez left too early, because Thierry Henry was there longer, and Thierry Henry got double digits in assists and goals. But at the end of the day, if you look at them, with the way that they play, some people will say Suarez is better than Henry. Some people will say Aguero is better than Henry. I wouldn't personally, but I see why you say it's still debatable. Like, it's not a clear-cut thing.
I don't think it's ever going to be... I feel like it's never going to be a finished... This is the finished argument. He is the best, yeah? But I feel like he has got a valid case behind him for being the best. Sure.
Of course.
I don't think that judgment will be made realistically until he retires, because we don't know what else he's going to do.
People still aren't even sure if he's the best player in the Premier League right now.
Oh, he is. That's
just what, which he is, by the way. Hands down, which he is. But I feel like
the only one that can chat to him is Rodri, and that's it.
What about Salah?
Salah's the one, the argument that people bring.
It's KDB and Salah. Those are the only two.
Yeah.
The only two.
No, I think Rodri.
What about Godchild?
Okay. Anyways, thank you for ruining the conversation.
Like, why you gotta do that? Unprovoked.
But yeah,
I think with Kevin, you can say in spite of his injuries, he still lived up to the standard.
Aguero as well, though.
He's Aguero.
Aguero lived up to the standard every time he came out. Do you remember that time he came out for injury? He scored a hat trick.
Yeah, he scored five goals in one
Aguero
game.
Aguero was the best.
Aguero doesn't even have a golden boot.
Poacher, because maybe, he's or goal scorer in he's in there, but in terms of all round striker, I think because the likes of Henry or even Suarez have shown us,
but then
an
in terms
round element of
but
their
then
game,
Gerrard has shown us an all round element of his game. Lampard has shown us an all round element of his game.
Yeah, but everybody throws the trophy argument to Kane. Lampard, I'm throw it back to Gerrard and ask him where his Premier League trophy is.
Lampard,
sorry,
yeah,
that's Lampard.
Everyone likes the argument for Kane, so throw it back. Where's
does
the
KDB not have more prems than Lampard?
Yeah, he does.
One Champions
but then
League
if you want to take away the one where he was injured the entire season, then it's probably equal.
No, he did play. He came back, though.
He barely played. It's like me claiming Eden Hazard. I mean, that 2015-16 that you guys always slaughter me for.
But it's not my fault.
Hazard fans do be claiming that one.
I don't know. If he collects another one, what's that, six? He has five?
Yeah.
And potential another Champions League. I don't think there's a better team in Europe than
if we're keeping it in just Premier League. Per your caveat, by the way, FYI.
But I
forgot. Then why is Gerrard in this conversation?
Listen, I'm
going to be respectful.
Yeah, man, I'm going to have some respect. Like,
KDB is definitely part of that conversation.
And so is Gerrard.
Yeah. So, no, he's not.
He is.
Let me be clear.
Gerrard is part of it.
Gerrard is in the conversation.
I think that's a personal preference thing, because I think Gerrard is better than Lampard.
No
personally.
Way. No way.
Personally.
Depends on what you like.
That's what I'm saying.
On what metric?
Depends on what you like.
Scholes is better than both of them, though.
I think my favorite type of midfielder.
Absolutely.
out of the three.
I think Gerrard is by far more versatile than Frank Lampard. I'm not saying
versatile
I prefer him.
In what way?
But can Frank Lampard play right back in a Champions League final? He played it to, as in like 10 out of 10 standard. I went back to watch the full 90, and I was like, yo.
And just say what Lauren said earlier. But can Gerrard win a Premier League?
Let's start the conversation. We're going round in circles.
Yeah.
before
we finish together, because I think we are competing against Newcastle as well for Premier League places.
No. You mean Champions League?
For European places. Does Eddie Howe have a problem in terms of, is his job at threat?
Do you know they deserve it?
Why?
Because they were doing
too much. Arsenal fans hate.
It's not even just. It's not
outside of the Arsenal game and whatever happened, they decided to run before they could even crawl. Like, they made Champions League. They're shameless. They thought they was a big club. They thought they could manage the load. And they had all this XP behind them. And now they're trickling their way down the table. Long may it continue. I also read, yeah, that they need they need to clear 150 million off the books.
Yeah.
That means that's one of Bruno G someone. Or Isaac is for sale. Yeah, because yeah. that's the only way you're going to make the money back.
Everyone you wants could argue too. Everyone wants no one's paying 150 for one of them.
But no, because apparently,
close to 100 million.
Bruno G's release clause is 100 mil, so.
So there's still 50 kicking around.
Yeah, but they can make that up from like some, you know.
What, who they selling? Dan Burn?
Huh? Yeah, Dan Burn. Calmate, man. Not us, but they'll sell people to like Southampton. Do you know what I mean? Brighton will take someone.
Yeah, there's certain teams that need to buy.
There's certain teams that always take.
Because I saw there was rumours as well that he wanted Solanke back.
Yeah, and they couldn't afford.
So if he wants Solanke back, because Eddie Howe said the other day they can't afford.
Why are they stacking strikers?
To be fair though, they're stacking strikers because the injury, Isaac's injury record is not good.
Isaac, Callum Wilson,
Callum Wilson's Callum Wilson's injury record is not good.
They need
Joe Linton is injured now.
They need.
I don't remember the last time Joe Willock has played either.
Boy,
yeah.
So that's probably like the first thing on their transfer list. They need a striker.
Gordon got injured. They rushed him back so quick here because it was so scarce everywhere else. You get what I mean?
But I feel like as well, with Newcastle and Eddie Howe, unfortunately, when you get the big money takeover, you're just a stepping stone manager. You will be replaced.
Yeah.
There's only a certain level you can take them. You crashed out the Champions League. You finished bottom of your group. You've lost revenue there. Your squad building is okay. But he's going to get replaced eventually. Like, you're just a small fish now in a big pond.
But I also think that I don't think
does he deserve any credit?
He's done a good job. I feel like he's done such a good job. That if he when he eventually gets replaced, yeah, he can look back on his Newcastle career and say, yeah, I did something here. Because taking Newcastle to the Champions League after how many decades of not being in it, that is a massive accomplishment in itself. So I don't think that Newcastle are going to just drop him as soon as they can. No, I think they're still going to give him another chance to completely rebuild this squad for sure. And also, with all the injuries that's been happening, that is his excuse. Like, there's that been too many injuries in this club.
It's extremely funny that Manchester City have pushed the regulations to the point where Newcastle now have to offset 150 million, boy, considering that they whitewashed the Premier League with the same benefits. Mm-hmm. Now it's Newcastle's like, oh, fair game, my ass.
Can I just say something? I don't know what I'm about to say about all of that.
yeah, I'm looking like, as you said, my ass, I started getting PTSD.
I need his ass, man.
The cameras are rolling, but please elaborate.
Do you know what? No, nothing.
Yeah, nothing, please.
Anyway, going back to Newcastle, because I'm not a hater like Arsenal fans.
It's not even just Arsenal fans. Bare people hate them.
I don't really understand it, to be honest. I think they are literally going back to where they should be. They obviously massively...
They're too loud.
Shouting, they should be fine, right? I mean, it's noise cancelling, but we can hear them, they're quite loud.
Anita's lucky, man. Right. That comment's probably gonna get deleted.
How are we doing time?
What was I gonna say? Yeah, wait.
Rascal, where's my phone?
It's underneath your bun. Yeah.
Not this one.
Oh, eee, trap.
So I think Newcastle are literally just performing to where they actually are. Mm-hmm. Last season, they massively outperformed, where they should be in their, obviously, the trajectory. And what they achieved was probably 2 years before that they realised that they would. So financially, they were not ready. And squad-wise, they're not ready. So, of course, if you're talking about having to sell talent, I think it would be very harsh to sell. It'd be very harsh to sack Eddie Howe right now. I think he deserves at least another season to kind of like build on what he's already achieved. And I think because if you replace him now, you're still not going to get into those. In my personal opinion, you're still not going to get into those European spots. So, what is the benefit of him leaving? But one thing I will say, we'll kind of agree with Shai on, is that Newcastle were that club back in probably the early 2000s, late 1990s, because, you know, they were in the Champions League. But which
Has anyone here actually watched their All or Nothing?
Yeah.
You did? The buzz around that was nothing. There was absolutely...
Wait, they did one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it was released
like... the same Amazon one?
They it was released
else,
in like
their own one.
August.
Yeah, it wasn't even that long ago. There was just no buzz.
But then, do you guys think that if Villa seal a Champions League place this season and you look at Emery's accomplishment, then the Newcastle board might be thinking that they've underachieved in comparison to Villa, and you look at the difference in money spent.
But Villa spent money in the summer.
But Newcastle spent more money than Villa, no?
But Villa have been spending money and it's been going under the radar.
Yeah,
because they spend it in bursts. Yeah, yeah.
Was before Newcastle's.
They've been spending, yeah, because I feel like they went through a season. You remember, like, initially they spent, but then they spent the Jack Grealish money, and then they went on a spending spree, and then it all wasn't really working out. They bought like someone from like Marseille or something. He went back within like 6 months or on loan.
Yeah, but then when you look at it, they got Boubacar Kamara for quite cheap.
Mm-hmm.
They got Bailey for quite cheap.
They bought Diaby though, like 40-something million.
It's 40 million a lot. That's average.
Sorry, money bags. 100 million on the players. Some clubs. 40 million is a lot.
For Villa, that's a lot.
Yes,
that's
a lot
of
money.
That's peas, man.
That's a lot of money.
They
for
bought.
Some
they
club.
Bought Diego Carlos at centre back for like another 40 million.
And how much did they buy that Spanish guy for?
Pau Torres.
Yeah. 31?
He would have been close to that. He would be at least
30.
31. Yeah. 30. Yeah, 31.
How
they
much
bought
is
Moreno.
Because Newcastle can spend.
Yeah, but FFP is based on your profit and loss of your team.
Mm.
So, like, for them, if Villa have only just got into Europe, they wouldn't have been having the European revenue. So, in terms of what their actual outgoings were and incomings, like, they're probably pushing in terms of at the parameters of what they can buy before they start hitting FFP. But, yeah, for some of us, yeah, 40 million is still a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's because
not
many
of us sit on the couch.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
But to a normal team, it's a lot. But what I will say though is that outside of that, like Mourinho's a name that was brought up a lot. Like when the takeover happened, they were like, they can see Mourinho eventually being the coach for Newcastle. And I don't think Newcastle should rush that sort of thing. I feel like when you want to go for like a Mourinho.
Jose is finished.
The setup needs to be. That's the thing.
And you need accomplished.
But like you know, sometimes yeah, when you know you're going into the Champions League and you want a name and you want a like, the setup needs to be right if you want to bring a Jose in, basically. And I'm not saying that Newcastle don't have that now, but I'm saying it needs to continue to be like that if they're gonna think about doing something like that. But I will agree. I think Eddie Howe's done a fantastic job, and I wouldn't sack him.
Do you think he'll struggle next season? Because if we are talking about the fact that they might have to sell Isak, they might have to sell Bruno Guimarães. Will he struggle next season to then even make Europe if they're having to sell their best players just to balance the books?
As if there's buyers.
There definitely will
be
buyers for those two.
For 100 million.
Wait, for who? Isak and Bruno?
Yeah.
For Bruno?
Yeah.
Who can you see is going to spend 100 million?
They said Real Madrid were linked at one point, no?
Real Madrid have enough midfielders.
Yeah, they do have enough midfielders.
I don't know if they will get the 100 million, but it's like, you go to Newcastle, you look at Bruno G's trajectory, is he outside the Champions League midfielder? I don't think so.
Sorry.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How much did, this is not directly linked, but how much did Chelsea pay for Lavia? Like 60 something.
40 something million.
40?
No, 60.
Was it 60?
For a 90
Are you
year?
Sure?
It was like 65.
There's no way we paid. Nah.
Bro, it was like 65. Because I'm pretty sure Liverpool bid like 65 and it was rejected.
Mm. I think it was 60, not 65.
I'm so sorry. I have to Google that.
Lavia.
It definitely wasn't 40.
Bro,
58 million yeah. Or no, 53 million plus 5 million in add-ons.
Yeah, and they said it's easily
achievable add-ons.
That
yeah.
Do you know what? And that whole Lavia situation irritated me. But we're not even talking about
but
that.
But like
man.
In my head, I'm thinking if Championship clubs are demanding 58 million, then you could see why
the thing they weren't demanding it. We were offering it.
No, but it's because they were demanding it. Because
so you have Liverpool to think, were there.
Because Liverpool were there. They had to. Yeah. You have to think here. Yeah, there's so many players nowadays, yeah, that even if you're just a little bit good, the fee is like 60 million. Okay. Even if you're just a tiny bit good, the fee
even
is
Evan
like
Ferguson at Brighton, they're talking about him 100
120.
Onana at Everton.
It's 60.
Boy. 60, they're saying. They are saying 60 million. So then you have to think, yeah, someone like Bruno G, he's more refined in terms of skill set now than the two we've just named.
He's going for at least 75.
Minimum. Manchester. And you have to, huh?
Manchester United.
Would I take him? Yeah. Boy, beggars cannot be choosers anyway. Do you know what I mean? The bar is nothing.
Hell, do you think some of them are demanding the fee as well? Because we're talking about FFP in general. Some of the clubs, like Alana that we're linked to, mm-hmm. we may see Everton, sorry, Marva, get more charges tomorrow. So,
hey.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Between another 10 points.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, Everton not in Forest. We'll find out tomorrow Boy. If they've got more charges.
It had to be them, man.
No, so how are they? Sorry. How are they getting charges when Man City are sitting on 150?
Do you know what, Timo? Let's not ask questions before they start looking into us, okay? Let's not.
Isn't you know it? We'll talk about that off
air, camera.
Off, yeah. I'm just saying, but yeah, somebody's employers might be in trouble.
Not mine.
Chelsea, if City get got, Chelsea are definitely next.
Yeah. Facts.
And then if Chelsea get got, we'll finish with your club.
Do you know what is so funny?
You'll finish with us.
Yeah. There's no way you guys can't tell me you weren't cheating.
Okay, and do you know what? When
I think Arsenal
wait, us, when the rumours start coming for Arsenal, yeah,
how
don't
can
worry.
They come for us? We didn't
wait, don't worry.
We weren't
don't
cheating.
Worry. You guys were buying referees, man. Just like Barca.
Yeah, but that was like, that's not stuff you can get bagged on now. Do you know what I mean?
Nah,
that
Barca, was happening. No, if Barca, if Barca can get bagged,
that's not FFP.
Man United can get bagged. That Fergie time era is coming. It's coming. Howard Webb.
I'm not gonna lie. Our punishment for that has already started. It started 10 years ago. So, boy, like, there's nothing that can happen now that would be like, boy, it's what is at this point.
Sister deducted 15 points.
All right, it's what is.
All right, so wrapping it up and moving on to a very boring game, but we will discuss it. Chelsea, West London derby, victory. Who wants to start? What do you think of the game?
Lisa.
Oh, go ahead. I insist.
Can we start with, the thoughts on the game before we go into the Bowley out campaign?
I'm not Bowley, yeah. I'm still
Bowley.
Yeah,
so that's what
I'm
saying. If you could tell us the game and then we can go into impassioned plea on why the Chelsea owners are dragging the team down.
I ain't gonna lie, I fell asleep. I fell asleep after the penalty. There was nothing to that game. The game was boring. It was quite stale. It was just the same old story. Chelsea had a lot of shots on target, off target. We let Fulham back into the game several times. Willian could have got a couple of goals. Mm-hmm. We stank, they stank. I think Cole Palmer was a shining star out of them all, as you know, we already know that he's one of the best under 25s in the league right now.
One of the best, it's fine.
Because you lot were shouting at me last week. Anyway, it's fine. I've come here very calm. But yeah, there was nothing to that game. It was, like you said, it was very boring and there's just nothing to it. I would have been very angry if I had to go to Stamford Bridge and watch that game because, as we've spoken about in a group chat, the atmosphere at Stamford Bridge right now is dire. Mm. You can hear a pin drop in the home section. The away fans are consistently louder than us at home, and that's beginning to become a worry because, as home fans, you're meant to be that 12th man, and we don't have that anymore. So, yeah, atmosphere was boring. The game was boring. Happy to get the 3 points.
But
now we're no
clubs
longer 10th.
That issue with the new ticketing system that all the
not
clubs
Spurs
have rolled out.
Nah, because the thing is that I don't hear it at the Emirates though.
What? That's your place. It is silent.
Emirates is silent. Yeah. Compared to Stamford Bridge
is the most quiet I've seen. Last season, Emirates was loud.
Like everything is
because you guys are winning.
It's ballot stuff. Even beginning of the season when we were still there, it was shit. The atmosphere has been shit, and it's just like, please, like in the UK in general, try to make the atmosphere as best as possible. Even this mystery about Anfield, it's all shit.
Yeah, the Anfield myth. I don't believe it, man.
Stamford Bridge. I can't lie. I turned on the telly to watch the game.
It was silent.
And I could hear the Premier League music. I was. That's what prompted my message in the chat. I was thinking, Chelsea have a problem because I think sometimes as a fan, you also have to take accountability and responsibility for actually creating an atmosphere. Because how do you expect your team? In a way, we talk about home advantage. Home advantage is based on the fact that your home fans are there and they're making an intimidating atmosphere. If it's not an intimidating atmosphere,
but then it's kind of also, and I don't want to blame Pochettino for this, but when there's confusion when you see the lineups, when there's confusion in the patterns of play that we are begging to be seeing at the moment, there's also going to be fans that are just there to just watch and kind of understand what's going on, because 9 times out of 10. When I'm at Stamford Bridge, I don't know what we're doing. We are passing the ball so slowly. Our build-up play is so slow. It's unreal. Until we get to the final third, then our build-up play starts quickening, but then we don't have a clue when we're in the final third. So it's all a mixture of these things put together that makes the atmosphere so dire. And I don't know how we can lift it up unless something changes within the team, unless, I don't know, they change the ticketing system. Like you said, it's gone to shits. I don't know nothing about that, but apparently it's gone to shits. So yeah, the atmosphere is a big problem, maybe across the whole of England, but particularly at Chelsea.
Do you feel like some Chelsea fans are not really backing players though?
I feel like there's no connection with Chelsea fans and our players, because some of the things that you see online, yeah, the way Chelsea fans pelter these players of today is different from the way we used to pelter them 3-4 years ago. Team, I'm looking at you.
I'm looking at you. I can't lie. I think everyone knows who I pelter. I think Stamford Bridge has been like that for probably the last 10 years in terms of the silence. I think obviously now we're on a seven game winning streak at home. So Chelsea are winning despite the atmosphere being awful. I don't think the atmosphere has really been that great over a number of different years. So, but yeah, probably progressively getting worse. I think in pretty much all Premier League games, you can really hear the away fans and they create the atmosphere.
Not really, because when we played Man City, when we played Arsenal, you could hear our fans over.
But I think though that is a big, like, that doesn't surprise me because those are big six games.
Yeah, but you need can't to keep that the going. Point is that you can't. You're not supposed to be picking and choosing.
Yeah.
If you go to Bramall Lane, you'll hear the Sheffield fans and look at them.
Regardless. Yeah. And even when we played Preston North End, yeah, we sat in silence. And I was next to the away fans. And I wanted to join in with them because they looked like they were having a vibey time. Mm. I felt miserable. We were winning like 4-0.
You're speaking about two games where we actually competed.
Yeah, but the point is though, like the players it's either supposed to be a case of the players are supposed to be giving the fans something to cheer about, yeah. But at the same time, the fans need to come with the mindset that I'm going to support this team properly, vocally. Do you know what I mean?
Have you watched Chelsea play?
Boy,
that's the problem. That's the mindset right now.
If you say, have you watched Chelsea play? Every fan that steps foot in Stamford Bridge knows what they're getting. Facts. So if you decide then to go to Stamford Bridge, then what are you going there for?
If you've paid your season ticket, what do you mean?
If you paid your season ticket, doesn't mean you need to go to the games.
Rent it out. I just feel like there's a huge disconnect between Chelsea players and the Chelsea fans. Sometimes I feel like it's undeserving. Like, even when I see you guys' team sheet come out on socials, straight away it's not...
It's not
Let's
support.
Go Chelsea. Nice. We can win this support. Game. It's yeah. Why is this player playing? Why is this player playing? Why is this player playing? And I feel like right now there's a lot of fan favourites in your team. Mm. Like
you Modric.
See, no, but you will Modric, see you'll Enzo. See Sterling starting, and the, pelters, the first yeah. thing will be, why is he playing over? What do they call him? Misha? Is that what they call him?
Yeah,
online?
Misha.
Misha.
Madrid.
No, they call him Misha.
Call him Misha.
So it's just
there's even a burn account called Misha Modric.
It's just like. Okay, but then when you watch the games, even though he might not be consistent over the 90,
yeah, he
Sterling
does stuff that's effective.
Penalty.
Facts.
Yeah, Sterling's like, getting like assists. Sterling. Sterling's putting his teammates in position.
No, but there's a lot of Chelsea fans
what,
that
straight away, hate, it's like, they, yeah, if it's like, okay, this is the team that's playing. Fuck this guy, fuck this guy, fuck this guy, fuck this guy. Mm. That will then seep into the players. And it's like, what am I performing for?
I think
the people that come to cheer me on don't really want me to win. Yeah. Why should I perform for them?
I think you're right. There is a disconnect between the players and Chelsea fans. And I don't know how to bridge that gap. I don't know what the answer is to bridge that gap. But you always have to go back and look at the manager. What can the manager do better to make sure that that disconnect between the players and the fans isn't synergy, happening anymore? Yeah. They need to be like, there needs to be some sort of synergy there. And at the moment, there's not. Even when the players come to clap us up and clap us over, you only kind of look at Thiago and you that's the only person you kind of really have a bond with at the moment. And everyone else is kind of like, there'll be boos or people will be heckling them. And it's like, okay. And then I'm not to call Faye or you out, but every time we put the lineup in a group chat and
I
it's that.
Say nothing.
Team, there's been a couple of times where you're
a
like,
couple
what's
of times,
this time?
But honestly, most
what's
of the time,
I don't remember the last time people were happy with the lineup.
Most of the time, it's
like
online,
every time.
But it's also, it's not about, for me, where I slightly disagree with you, Shai, it's not about the player. It's not about the players right now. It's about the manager. It's about what he's portraying with the team. And where he's playing certain players, misprofiling certain players, and then you see the performances. So you see the performances. Wait.
This is deja vu to Potter and Lampard.
You see the performances on the pitch, and it's just like no patterns of play. Mm. And then you see that players are not playing in their natural position. And then you have players that are natural to that position who are going out on loan or being sold or doing this or doing that. So the disconnect starts with the manager and then trickles down to the players.
My thing is, right? Why do you support your club? Do you support your club for Poch or do you support Chelsea because you love Chelsea? And I feel like as toxic as environments can get, and for example, under Emery, our environment was really toxic. Apart from Granit Xhaka, who's an absolute prick. There was no Arsenal player where it was like, lambast. You still got to believe in, like, no matter what, as a football fan, you back your team. Even if you think you're going to go into the game and you're going to get absolutely hammered, especially if you're a season ticket holder or you're a regular match goer, you go to that match to back your team. If you're not going to go there to back your team,
don't go.
Give your ticket up and complain at home.
Said that about the Liverpool fans. I remember
why I
said, the weekend if you're not here.
That's why I said I think it's across the Premier League. Mm. Klopp has complained. Pep's always complaining because that Etihad
he
atmosphere
hates
is drastic.
City fans, yeah.
It's just like, back your team, give them something to believe in. Because when you were good, but when you were good, you had no problem going there singing Lampard's name, Drogba's name. That's why they knew.
I still complained about the team back then.
But that's why they knew, even when they aren't performing very well,
they've got the back.
The 12th man can encourage you to win those games. And you guys are just there like, this is bullshit.
Also, if they need the fans to win the games, then
no. But you said that you feel like the atmosphere has been going down in Stamford Bridge for like 10 years.
Wait!
You need your fans.
You are paid how many millions?
That doesn't mean anything.
Without the fans backing. I've seen it.
Then why does home advantages exist?
I don't think home advantages is a thing.
Yes,
it's a thing.
I don't think
it's a thing.
So why do teams naturally have a
backing? That's why they took away the away goals in the Champions League.
But do you know what?
Why did Chelsea have that home record if home advantage wasn't a thing? Why didn't people, like, it doesn't matter. It's still one of the best home records in the Prem. Why? Even if you look at it right now, yeah, we say the Anfield hoodoo. Let's give Liverpool fans their credit. Why does no one like the Anfield away day? It's not just because Flanagan and Jordan Henderson in midfield. Why did no one like that Anfield away day?
Even the Man City All or Nothing explains it extremely well. When they went to Liverpool, in the Champions League, and you saw what the away advantage gave to Liverpool, it was insane.
So why?
And Pep Guardiola was saying it. Wow.
So
this is insane. This is insane.
So
this is insane.
Why are they taking away the away goal advantage in Champions League?
Because there were so many different reasons.
It's to stop teams sitting back and
come
just
on,
and
just
and
defending
and
a 1-0 win.
Yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
Team, come on.
If you're gonna perform, you're gonna perform.
I feel like this is the thing about a lot of Chelsea fans right now. Our players cost a lot of money. Our players are being paid a lot of money. They are still human beings. They need our support. If you're going to go to Stamford Bridge and you're going to sit there in silence, don't
go. Support the team, support the players that represent you. It's not about how much they earn. They are representing you. How would you like to be represented? Yeah. Would you go on a pitch, yeah, and play 10 out of 10, knowing that your fan base are constantly chatting shit about you 50 online?
50-50. You also have to give them something
But then you also
support.
Have to remember that half of our team are under the age of 25. I'm not being funny.
And therein lies the problem.
No. That is a problem in itself. But then at the same time, we as fans should look at it as these are young players that we've been asking for a very long time. Our academy players, we've been wanting them to come into this team. We've been wanting to get younger players in the team. We're always like, why we got old players? Let's get younger players in. We've got a team of young players. Why are we not supporting them week in, week out, regardless of what the lineup is? Support them. Everyone's cussing Levi Cole because he can't play left back. Okay, he can't play left back. Take that to the manager. Don't take it out on Levi Cole. Everyone's cussing.
But people do take it on.
People are also cussing. What's his name? Caicedo. Sometimes don't take it out on Caicedo. Enzo. Don't take it out on Enzo. Don't take like your. Everyone takes it out on these players, and it's kind of like. It's so fucking irritating, bro. Because then you go to the game. No, because you go to the games and you're hearing the fans dish out negativity. Why are you dishing out negativity? It's not about what's there to be positive about.
Last season under Conte, I said, that's it. Remember in the group chat, I said, I'm not going again. I'm not going.
Criticism. Like, don't
why
go.
Why would you spend criticism your money to go
watch is fair
this?
When yeah. your players are underperforming. But it's going to sound cliche. There's just something about a match-going fan that you have to put aside for the 90 minutes.
Bro, if you are an armchair fan at home, criticise all
you
want.
If you can't put it aside, don't go.
Do it all you want. But if you are travelling to Stamford Bridge, Stamford Bridge is not easy to travel to. If you're travelling to Stamford Bridge, why are you going there bringing your negativity? Stay at home. Stay at home. I'm so sick and tired of sitting in seats where fans are next to me talking shit about Sterling, talking shit about Caicedo, talking shit about everybody. Shut up, support your team, sing the Chelsea, and move the fuck on. What the hell?
You want us to do that whilst we're getting
100%
slapped?
No, 100%.
Because the hope is 100%. That in you guys doing that, you won't be getting slapped. That's the point. Like,
let the players build a synergy with this club.
You do your bit and hope that the players do their half. That's the point.
Bearing in mind, some of these players haven't played in the Premier League before. Bearing in mind, some of these players are coming from their home teams, yeah, where they were supported week in, week out, coming to a team where no one supports them. Bro, you want them to do their jobs. Let's do our jobs as fans. If you're not a fan that's going to support them on the 90 minutes, if you're not a fan that's not going to support them during the 90 minutes, don't go to Stamford Bridge. Don't do it. Stay at home. Watch it on your TV.
I fundamentally disagree with that point.
Why though? Because I think it's 50. When you look at some of the best away stadiums in Europe, right? You look at Dortmund when they were in a dire situation.
That yellow wall
was never quiet. You look at teams like Galatasaray away.
Boy.
In Europe, in a league. You look at Ajax.
But I feel like you guys are talking, you're talking as if like, without context to Chelsea. There's so much context.
Oh, I've got context.
Around, no, but you had your little monologue. I was listening to you.
I think these matches.
I think the context is wider than just the players and the atmosphere's crap and they've got to support the team. And you're acting like we haven't gone through a massive change in the last 2 years. And actually, in terms of standards, in terms of everything, this isn't the club that it used to be.
But
and so it's going to take a long, long time in order to even connect with the Chelsea fans can't even connect with the ownership. There's no one at that club that Chelsea fans
can connect. A lot of fans can't connect with their ownerships.
No, but you're talking about ownership, the manager and the players. That's three. Me too. Ownership, manager and the players.
But in the past, yeah.
Bro.
At least one of them. At least there's clubs that are doing well, there's at least you can connect with at least one.
But Timo, do you know why I'm not hearing what you're saying? Because if Chelsea fans can get up for Liverpool, Arsenal, City, Tottenham or United at
there
home,
we go.
You can get up. Because even in those
big six, the performances are raising those.
Even in those big six games, you guys still hate Poch. You still hate your
owners.
But you guys can get up. And you can sing for 90 minutes, and you can encourage.
The performance is up in those games. But how do you know which? How do you know which order this is coming in? The fans are up from the beginning in those games, and the players are also up for it. But then if the fans turn up in those other games not up for it, how do you know that isn't the reason the players also aren't up for it? You don't
if the reason that Chelsea are not winning matches is because of the atmosphere and not because of the manager's tactics.
No, we're putting it together.
At the same time.
Yeah, we're just putting it together.
I literally said that. I said it's 50-50.
The players also need to perform well in order for the fans to respond. It's chicken or the egg.
It is It is 50-50, but if the fans are only putting in 20, that requires the players to put in 80.
But are the players putting in 50?
Do you know what? In my opinion, before like the Stamford Bridge turned really sour and really like negative, they were trying. They were trying. And you got to remember, the majority of them are new as
they're
well.
They're new, they're young, they need... But the problem is as well... is that in that team, and you talked about the age, and I do think it is...
It's the age thing, for sure.
The age thing is...
They lack experience.
Because you need a mix... Like, if it is about the crowd, and they need the crowd, that is a lack of experience, which means that you need experienced players in order to be able to kind of tell them or coach them through playing in really... Because if they go away to Galatasaray in the Champions League, where it's just a crowd of noise and they can't get up because they can't hear the Chelsea fans, how are they expected to perform at the highest level?
But expectations are different when you go to an away team. When you're at home, if we stick it to just being at home, expectations are always going to be completely different. If you don't feel like you're being supported by your own home fans, that's an issue in itself. Because it's like, if our fans don't believe in us... What the fuck are we playing
for? I feel like, as well, you've seen so many players say that when they line up in the tunnel, that's when they start to feel it, because you can hear the crowd. You go out. It's like, imagine being a singer going out for a concert and it's just silent.
Imagine being
that's why we're always waiting, because they think, oh, the crowd's not ready yet, I'm not coming out. That's how they get the host
to like hype up. They're like, everyone get your phones out. Everyone get, do you know what I mean? Like, you want to create something. Waiting.
You got to create that atmosphere.
Maybe if you
now.
Try Stamford Bridge, ups the level, and then... You do have other issues.
I do hear your points, though, because I would say as well, I think there's no connection in the stadium on match days. There's no connection to the manager. There's no connection to the board. And I do look and think, have the board made a mistake hiring an ex-Tottenham manager to come and be that person to build that connection? Mm. Because I do think Chelsea fans are very fickle. Sorry. As soon as you don't like something, you want to sack the manager. But I do think now... The mood has turned really quickly.
Yeah, quicker than it did for everyone else.
And I think that might be because it's Poch.
But I also feel like the most spoiled fan base in the league, this hard time has lasted too long for them. They just don't know what to do anymore. They're losing their minds.
For this to be, I agree with Shai, because you have to deep it. You don't want the Champions League, not too long ago.
You won it 2 years, no, 3 years ago now.
And that's long for you.
No, that's short. Like,
and that's what I'm saying. And that's what I'm saying. But Chelsea fans are acting as if it has been shit at the club for 20 million years.
Not being funny, there's context. There's context with that one.
There's context.
But the thing is, but hear us when we say that you guys have, as an opposition fan, you guys have been in this cycle with your managers for like 10 years.
And it's been They're spoiled. You got it right with Tuchel. Especially the Chelsea fans who... grew up in the Roman era, they are the most spoiled brats when it comes to football. Have about 18 months in them, and if they don't see any potential, it's like, get the fuck out of here. I'm a legend.
Even the following 18 months after a big trophy, if the form drops off after a Champions League or a league, get rid of the manager.
The funny thing is, like you said, 18 months, six. For me, six months. If I'm not seeing any sort of improvement, get out of my club. Mm. That's just how,
and that's the problem.
And that's the problem, and that's why I'm calling it out. Because if I'm thinking like this, how many other Chelsea fans are thinking like this? And Pochettino, he's not a bad manager. Is he the manager I would have wanted? No, he's not a bad manager. But we've got to kind of get behind him as much as possible, blindly, unfortunately, because he's not going away. He's not going away.
But then it's just like, who do you give a chance to at this point? Because if you sack Poch, then what?
But do you know where the owner... And I hate to go back on old shit, but the owner's just really fucked up by sacking Tuchel. Because I feel like the fan base...
Oh, goodness.
That's fine, but we just fucked up with Tuchel. Because
that was the biggest...
Was it not like the last couple of games before the end of the season where we had Tuchel's banner? Next thing you know, he's sacked.
Oh yeah, and he was smiling.
He was the first manager I'd seen in a while at Chelsea, that he seemed to have that connection with the fans.
He had a connection.
The fans had really...
He said he would drive the bus.
He had a connection with the fans.
That's the problem. You go from that to this.
You want that from Poch.
But that's what I'm saying, is that at least one person...
Inherently don't like him because he's exposed.
At least one person to connect with.
Sorry, can I just address something? It's not because he's ex-Spurs, okay? Like, you guys are non-factor to this, okay? Just I've heard you say it like three times. I've heard you say it three times. Nothing to do with Spurs.
No,
it's not true. It's nothing to do with Spurs.
Historically, we don't.
But yeah, but it's not that deep. I'm telling you. Trust me.
The Poch thing isn't about Spurs.
It's not about you.
If you would ever, like, if you go and speak to Chelsea, it's not about Spurs. It's about his tactics. It's about him misprofiling players. It's about him as a manager. It's not the Spurs thing is just an added thing. It's not the main thing, if that makes sense.
But, and the reason why I say it as well is because even Chelsea fans can see, like, he works well with the youth. Like, we know how well he can work. We know how well he can be. We know what he's done with the Spurs team. We don't care. We had Rafa Benitez, for crying out loud. that was the real test.
Has been unfortunate. Chelsea have had a lot of injuries. You don't even know. You're screwing your face, but it's true.
It's not an excuse for some of the things I've seen.
Yeah, but then it's like, if you're a new manager and what you think is your best team, or let's say your best 13 players, at times you've had four or five or six of them out at a time. How do you build something with a bunch of people that you don't see in your long-term vision?
Thomas Tuchel did it.
Not really.
He did.
Not really.
He had players that were pretty much playing every game. He had that injury burst, as in he had that time when, I remember you were playing Real Madrid and you had like injuries. Yeah.
You had like eight injuries.
But for the most part, he was able to stick with this solid back three.
He had a spine of a team.
Yeah, he had.
His most important players were not playing together. His wing backs. And they were both injured at the same time.
They were both injured at the same time. That's the difference. When our fullbacks, our wingbacks were injured, Tuchel made it work, right? When our fullbacks are injured under Pochettino, we have Levi Cole playing left back.
So who should be Zazi
playing right back.
If the next game,
Ian Matson, it should have been. He is a left back.
Yeah.
Ian Matson was left on the bench. He played right wing. He played left wing. He will come on and he will go into midfield. He will never play left back. That's the issue. Malo Gusto, when he came back from injury, Malo Gusto was not starting in right back more. It was Zazi in right back. Why was the centre back? There was a point where there was a run of games where Chelsea had four centre backs in that back line. And that's when I asked you the question that I don't understand.
Yeah, Poch hasn't helped. Don't get me wrong. Poch has not helped himself. Some of his decision making, like for example, Chilwell was playing left wing at one point.
He came on, played left wing. I just don't get it.
My point has always been is that we were Spurs fans. We were asking the same questions of Pochettino when he came to the club. People always have in their head that Spurs team as if that's the team that he inherited and he started with. That squad had to be built. Those players had to be coached. But like any project manager, they need time.
So Poch is seeing himself as a project manager, and I see Poch as a project manager. Mm. But Chelsea's not a project manager club. So in that sense, it's not the right fit.
But the thing is, the problem is it's the fans who are now the outlier because the owners want a project. They want to build long-term success.
They told us that the first time, with Graham Potter, they said, Why would it not be a project if we're giving my man 3 years or 4 year contract or whatever? And he didn't even last the season. So it's all
been under pressure. He didn't last the season because of the amount of pressure that Chelsea fans can't say, you want a project. And you
I've
expect,
never said I wanted a project.
This is the thing that the Chelsea fans... Nobody said we want a project!
The Chelsea fans
we never said we want a project!
Everybody else is doing projects, but not the fans.
Because if you roll back some of the tapes, these lot were talking about...
No, these lot, not me. Not me. Not me.
Wait. It's definitely not me. Because you know me, I'm probably more spoiled than Tima.
Okay, I don't have patience. Long-term sustainability and
I've never talked about that.
Yeah, I think that that was the plan. I think when Tuchel was sacked, so the people that were for Potter, I'm not saying Chelsea fans as a whole, but I'm saying as Chelsea fans, the Chelsea fans that were for Potter was for Potter under the guise that he can build a team. They were using Brighton as the example of him building, and they were saying he could do similar. I'm not saying you guys, I'm saying some people were saying this. Sorry.
And I'm guessing that in the same sense, they're thinking, okay, it didn't work out with Potter.
Yes!
Is it 2-1, 1-1?
It was 1-1
1-1 before we started recording.
I'm engrossing the conversation.
But like, in the same sense, they're probably thinking, cool, it didn't work with Potter, but if we just replace Potter with Poch and then we get his vision to like plan out. But in this case, Chelsea fans do not want the project, bro. They want Because, and I understand why they don't want a project, because they had a win now manager. So why would I want to go from a win now manager to a project when I didn't have to?
But then it's like, it's not, what do you want Chelsea to be? Because it was Chelsea fans that wanted the change. They wanted to build
which
a team.
Fans?
Why do you keep saying if you guys,
because I remember very clearly, you guys, Chelsea fans kept mentioning long-term sustainability.
Do you know when you said Arsenal fans on Twitter, you're talking about Chelsea fans on Twitter. You're not talking about Chelsea fans.
Can I correct
you? You always lambast me about Arteta and I don't rate him. So I don't understand why now we have to seclude gold diggers and the real world.
No, but do you know what? I've said it, but I've said it with Tuchel. Okay. I said Tuchel is the person that can probably take this team to where we want it to be, as in where the Todd Boehly and Ebadi came in and said they want a long-term project. Tuchel was the guy to give us that project. But so when it got to Graham Potter, you guys all understood.
So now are Chelsea fans still in the nature of win, sack, keep it going,
Bowley out.
Okay, on that point.
Come on, man.
The Chelsea chat, before we run out of time, it would be gold diggers if we didn't speak about AFCON. Obviously, AFCON started yesterday. We've seen some...
Wait, are you Nigerian as well?
Yeah, I'm Nigerian.
Yeah, we've seen some wayward results.
You're Nigerian as well, no?
Nope.
Asha Care Lover, no?
Hey!
She was singing Asha Care word
yeah,
for
Asha
word,
Care Lover,
word for word, fam! I got the tapes!
So you don't remember?
Who are you supporting?
Nigeria.
She's supporting Nigeria, bro.
Fair.
But, so, early predictions. Based on the results that we've seen, obviously, Egypt, drawing to, was it Mozambique?
Salah wants to come home.
Salah wants to play that Chelsea game.
Nigeria, but do you know what
Equatorial
it is?
Equatorial Guinea. I mean, these are poor results. Ghana, Nigeria game.
Osimhen, boy.
Cribble.
Okay, apart from the... Cribble. Listen, because that's my striker. I'm going to defend him. Apart from the one...
Defend him. I've got the stats here.
No,
please.
I'm not. But
defend
apart from the...
I saw the stats. I screamed.
The second one, he should have definitely put it in. Bro. Where it
the
was
one he rolled it...
Wide.
Completely wide, yeah.
It wasn't complete,
it was just completely.
It was just
he even
wide.
Used his heel to kick it. No, I was sick.
That is completely wide.
Okay, that was bad, yeah. But for me, with Nigeria, what I don't get is they don't lack the talent.
Mm-hmm.
So what is not translating between the talent and what we see
they're
on the pitch?
They're not getting paid.
They're not getting paid. They're not getting paid. Let's be real.
No one's getting their money.
If I told me to do a spreadsheet and they said I ain't getting paid, they get what they're given.
Bro,
and that's what
period.
We're seeing right now. Everyone's just doing... Do you know what I mean? Also, some of those people in that team are crooks. Let me say it. Stanusi, I don't want to see him ever again. Ever again. Some of them, at least they could say, you know, we did some bits good, some bits bad. Stanusi did do nothing good today. Awful. Also, sometimes you're looking at that team and you're thinking, who are the midfielders in this side?
You're missing Ndidi, no?
Okay. And is Ndidi the only Nigerian on this earth that's a midfielder? Like, that's the way they act. They act like when someone's not there, that's it.
Oh,
we have to
God.
Agree that it's just done. Bro.
Iwobi was the funniest one, though. He was killing me.
Iwobi?
I'm
not going to lie. When he took the shot like in the first minute, I thought he was going to do a madness. After that, he just turned insane. Listen, I found those Osimhen stats. I said, he ain't running away from you. This is for you, Shai. He attempted one dribble. Yeah. He attempted one dribble in the whole game. He completed zero dribbles. He completed zero dribbles, yeah. Big chances missed.
Two.
Yeah. Touches, 15. Accurate passes. He attempted 6 passes. He completed one pass. He completed one pass. You can't even tell me about the pitch. That's a disgrace. Bro, he completed one pass. He went into 2 ground duels.
Do you know what
he won zero ground jewels. He won 0 ground jewels.
Do you know what is Moya? Yeah. You guys were not using your Echo S passport good enough. Because you see how you said atmosphere, yeah? There was no Nigerian singing praise and worship.
I'm not gonna lie, there was
the way to the stadium.
There wasn't enough.
There wasn't enough.
Wissa was trying from
it
the
was
bench.
Quiet,
but
it was silent.
Okay. Even silence should have helped them. Listen, they're not getting away with what they did today. They're not getting away with it. It won't be after
criminal.
The game was like he still believes that we can win AFCON.
But I personally think after what I've seen so far, Ivory Coast are winning the tournament back in their own home. I don't think there's a midfield
Morocco?
In AFCON. Sorry?
Morocco.
Anyways. I don't think there's a midfield in AFCON stronger than what I saw. I don't think a North African team is in AFCON. Sorry.
Yeah, I think Ivory Coast has the best midfield. But that pitch is dry.
It is water.
The pitch is dry. The ball was trickling. And also, I want them to show me what's inside the ball. Because for some reason, they kicked the ball. They're kicking the ball the same way that they kicked it in the United Tottenham game. But when they kicked it in the United Tottenham game, the ball's going like this. When they kicked it in the Nigeria game, the ball went up like immediately. Something is in the ball, bro. Something. It might be rice or something. Do you know what I mean? It might be rice.
Oh my god. I think it's the pitch.
Oh my god. What is in the ball?
Because even when you look at the kicks, right, the way the ball bubbles, it goes like this.
It goes like this. It actually goes like this. Because there's rice inside the ball.
No, man, they need to upgrade the pitch in Africa, man.
AFCON is its own, like, honestly.
I love AFCON,
I love AFCON. My dad was watching it yesterday and he was like, I can't watch this. I don't know how you lot are watching this. I said, this is the problem. You're going to AFCON and you're expecting to see something serious. If you take AFCON for what it is and you know you're going to watch AFCON, you enjoy it more because you...
Yes.
I think with AFCON, yeah, similar to Copa, mm-hmm. it's very robust. It's not for flashes. Mm. It's about heart. Like... Mm. You even sometimes when you watch like Brazil Argentina games or Brazil playing Chile, it's just effort. There's no such thing as 1-2s, triangles here. It looks pretty. I think if you want to watch pretty football, you watch the Euros. Period. Nice pitches. Facts. You know,
nice ball. The ball
maybe
is
even
pumped
the Asia
with
Cup,
proper.
Because what Japan was playing this morning, I was like, wow. But AFCON, Copa America, these tournaments.
Someone
but
said though, that's why they think Osimhen is not an AFCON striker. They said this is the kind of tournament you need. Awoniyi, you need Ighalo, you need those bulldozers. It's a bulldozer striker.
Should have put Musson.
No, that one.
Whoa, nothing you can give us. You're going too far.
Awoniyi, like the people that fry that thingy.
Yeah.
The people
what about
that fry
the ones
that
AFCON?
That,
you got so much
Nigerian. We didn't call none of these people. We didn't even call Nathan Teller.
Really.
Mm-mm.
We didn't even call Nathan Teller.
The thing about Nigeria is that when they're used to something or when they think something is good, there's no changing their minds. And if you think the manager is making the decisions,
too much like the people in real life. When Nigerians want something, there's no changing their mind.
No, it's actually true.
People.
It's true. We're stubborn. We're a stubborn nation. Like when we want something done, we'll have it done. And if you think the manager is the one making the decisions, I promise you, it's the federation. The federation picks the starting 11. I'm very, very sure. And with the men and the women's.
Yeah. So do you think there'll be a game where Osimhen doesn't start?
No. If the Federation wants that, then maybe.
But I also feel like the Boniface getting injured messed up your 4-4-2.
Yeah, big mess up.
I say that, but that 4-4-2, yeah, it had two midfielders only. Do you know what I mean? It was a 4-4-2, yeah, with five forwards, yeah. And so the balance was never correct. If anything, the Boniface getting injured actually meant that we could play three midfielders. The problem is, the midfielders of choice is where the problem is.
So who would you play next game?
This team is not real anyway. I think with AFCON, just do lucky dip. Whoever gets chosen to play.
Lucky dip.
I'm real. This AFCON is not real, bro. Like, it's a real tournament in the sense that yes, that this is the pinnacle of African football. But bro.
But the thing about AFCON that I really need the UK and the Western media to be is more serious about it.
Yeah.
How the coverage
no sound,
of it
the coverage
is
no sound
absolutely
yesterday, first game.
But I'm not
shocking.
Trying to be funny. Right. How
are you guys watching?
I watched it on Sky.
The Sky deal happened like last week.
They decided last week.
I mean,
and also though, but how can you expect other people to take it seriously when the Federation ain't getting paid, the players ain't getting paid? I'm not trying to be funny. Like, it starts, it should start at home.
It starts at home, man. When the players are not being paid, they're starving for food.
But then
what can you do?
What's it? The biggest African broadcaster didn't get the rights.
Yeah.
They didn't bother. Mm-hmm. They're Super Sport. Yeah, they didn't
That's
bother.
That's crazy, man.
They said, we're good. We'll find out the score somehow. You know what I mean? Like,
that's crazy.
Any thoughts on Ghana before we wrap up? 2-1?
Shocking.
Chris Hughton will crumble.
It's not 2-1 yet. It's 1-1 still.
He will crumble. He is...
Can you name me a player from Cape Verde? One.
Yeah, can you usually that's your bag, no?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Done.
Okay. Shocking. What about who do you guys play?
Doesn't matter. Rapper, Guinea.
Equatorial Guinea.
Let's be good.
They had a Mexican in their team.
They did. As I said, AFCON boy. You just take it with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, he was, apparently he was born in Spain.
Hello, he was adopted.
Oh, okay, no, fair. Like Giannis.
Though? Yes. No, he was adopted, no? I'm sure they were saying story in the commentary that one of them is adopted and took after.
That might not even be real.
Spanish. Even lost team yesterday, there was definitely a Mexican, that centre back is Mexican as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. AFCON, as I said, it's lucky dip.
Do you guys remember when Ghana hosted AFCON and the local farmer came and got his cattle to feed to graze on the pitch?
What? Do you see what I mean about AFCON though? Do you know what I mean? Like, these stories should not exist.
I love my people.
The cattle did what?
So like, obviously they watered the pitch. So he went and bought his cattle to come and graze on the pitch.
You see what I mean about AFCON?
Do you know what? On like, that note, we must wrap up. But we hope everybody who's listening is enjoying AFCON as much as we are.
Come on, God.
We will be back next week.
What?
When some other clubs will be playing. So, Shai, your team will be playing next week, innit?
Oh, okay, it's Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Oh, we're leaving.
Bring the dog.
Oh, not the dog.
Actually, both Eze and the next one is both injured. We have Elise. A chance. Yeah, they're both out.
Yeah.
Without them, Palace, no chance. But who knows? Arsenal, shit, man.
They all did right. What?
I can't believe it.
Let's wrap it up. But thank you, everyone, for listening. And yeah, we'll be back next week.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.